It's a funny day to hear, "Let the little children come to me," when we just sent them all packing. But anyway, I thought that was funny. I just wanted to reiterate a couple of passages in the second reading. In light of the terrible events in Roseburg, I think the readings actually speak to us a little about this if we get under the surface. So the letter to the Hebrews, the author says that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. He created the angels. He makes reference to the angels, and he says, even though all things exist and were created through him, but in bringing many of his children to glory, that's us, he should make our leader perfect through suffering. Our leader of salvation was perfected in his humanity by his suffering. He who consecrates and those who are being consecrated all have one origin. So he's not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. This week, on Friday, as usual, the first Friday of the month, I did a Mass at Avamir, and I really loved doing that Mass. The first thing I did in ministry in high school was visiting nursing homes. Now, as I get older, I feel how maybe I'm headed toward one, you know, but in the States, it seemed like decades. Anyway, in going there, Friday was the Feast of the Guardian Angels, and behind the podium there, where we set up our altar in their chapel, is this big glass image about this big of a guardian angel. I thought, how perfect to have this guardian angel Mass with this angel behind us. It's that one that I'm sure most of you have seen of an angel with wings guiding these two little children around a hole in the bridge, you know? And everybody loves this image. And so in looking at this picture, the angels have a great ministry to us. Jesus said in the reading of the day, it's similar to the one we heard today, is that he says, do not despise these little ones because their angels are always before my Father in heaven. So in this passage, we learn that every child has an angel. And I'm sure this continues, this teaches that continues throughout our lives. Many have speculated that each angel has only one human for all eternity. And so we're destined to have a relationship with this being, which we cannot yet see, but whose effects are very real in our lives. They have only certain ways they can influence us, but they're very real, and they make an offering of what we offer to God of our lives. They, in turn, offer that to God and bring his will to us and get it through to us in various ways. The angels are very active in our lives. So you have this great image, and they protect us at certain times from various dangers. I remember when I was young, I was about 23 years old, and I was working in Los Angeles and visiting my mother in Lakeside, California, about 3 hours from where I live. And so I took her to church, and we were on Main Street, M-A-I-N-E, Main Street. I was getting a newspaper for her. And so she's sitting in the car across here. It's kind of funny. I was telling this story, and I looked down at the altar because I always look to see who's Mass attention while I'm celebrating Mass. It was her. So I thought, oh, there's one of those moments, you know. I put her in the homily, and there she was, the Mass intention of the day. So anyway, she's sitting in the car, and I got the newspaper, and I don't know, I was preoccupied or something, and I just, without thinking, I just stepped right out in front of traffic. And it was going pretty fast. I just stepped right in front of a car. And I felt I've told this story before, I felt two hands pull me back. It was very obvious. And I felt it, but there was nobody behind me. So, you know, it was one of those moments. I think many of us have had experiences like this, or we've recovered from an illness, or something didn't happen that might have, or, you know, and at times it's an angel, and at times the angels have tested us, St. Paul said, referring to hospitality, greeting strangers, some of you have entertained angels and you did not realize it. So they are at times visible in our lives. There's another time, I should watch where I'm going, you know. I was up at Seattle at Pike's Place, is that what that's called? And with my friend Father Paul from Lacey, Washington, one of the monks is a classmate of mine, and we were up there. And again, I was talking with him and not thinking, and I walked right out in traffic some 25 years later, and a stranger walking by saw this, tackled me to the ground, then walked away before I could say thank you. I don't know if it was an angel or not, but anyway, he certainly was an agent of God. And so here I am standing before you, twice saved from death, and I think many of you could say the same thing. There's something yet for us to do. God has something for us to suffer, to experience, to grow, to sacrifice. We're not here to have a good time, although thank God we do lots of times. We're here for a purpose. And when you see that, I sometimes go back to those days and I think, everything's a gift. So we have this image. And another one is when we went to on our pilgrimage last year, we stopped at a place called Mariestein in Bavaria. And it's a place that Pope Benedict loved. He went there quite often. And it's a place where a child was said to have fallen off a cliff and Mary caught him. And people have gone there ever since then. And it happened again a couple centuries later. And people go there to ask Mary to catch them when they're falling through the cracks of life. You know, it's a beautiful image of intercession that we have. So that's one thing. And then we have Roseburg. And we ask ourselves, and I ask myself this week in preparing this homily, where were those guardian angels for those kids? And again, I was on Friday, I was able to be with many of our parishioners for 40 days for life, standing at Planned Parenthood, and here's all these children that never had a chance to live. And I thought, why am I so fortunate? And what about them? And where are their guardian angels? And so we have these questions in life, and there are times when we fall through the cracks, and the angel does not save us from going through that crack, and this is part of life. In searching for answers this week, I came across a holy card, and in it, it gave me the insight, the piece that I was missing in this picture, and it is there's another angel in Scripture besides the guardian angels that is very important. Jesus is in Gethsemane, and he's praying. Remember, he created the angels and human beings, and he's become a human being precisely in order to show us that he loves us. God knew suffering in and of himself as God. He knew it, but we didn't know. We didn't see him. How could we believe that God understood suffering if he'd never been a man? And so he becomes a fragile human being, subject to death and being rejected like all of us. And he's praying. He wants to do this, but he's praying, Father, take this away from me. You can do anything. You can take this away. And it isn't God's will that it be taken away. He says it three times. And then what happens? An angel appears. An angel. And offers him a chalice. You see, this is one. And it's as if the angel said, this is one crack you're going to have to fall through. But I'm going to be with you with this cup. This is the cup that I'm offering you. At Mass, I had an insight while I was celebrating Mass this morning, as I said, and he took the cup and offered it to his disciples and said, take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood. You see, this is the cup the angel offered Jesus, and he in turn offers it to you and me. You know, we're saved from nine things, but then there's that tenth thing. I tithe, and yet I had a financial reverse. I prayed, but my child died. I wanted my marriage to succeed, but it didn't. I wanted to follow God's will, but something didn't work. You know, the list is endless. And God has saved us from so many things. Thank God you've done so much for me, Lord, but then there's this one thing I have to go through. It's a sin I can't seem to shake. I'm constantly struggling and going to confession. And there's a whole bunch of these. St. Paul went through this, and so do we all. It's essential to life, actually, that we have someone and something for whom life is more important than life, something we have to go through with God by offering it to him. And so he offers this to us. The mystery is that the angels are with us constantly. They help us, but only insofar as God permits them. They even become visible at times, but usually not in their own selves. And yet, there are times when they must stand back and watch us make a decision. I was very aware of that when I became a priest, that with all the signs and wonders that God gave me, including being helped by Sister Bridge McKenna, who's coming here next week. I'm so grateful to be able to tell her in person what she did for me. And yet, when it was all said and done, as I'm sure Mark can answer, say the same thing, God stands back and lets us make a decision. And it's up to us. And nothing can change that. And when it comes to suffering or some reversal, we can make the decision to leave God or to make a sacrifice of the thing. And this is the choice that when it comes, we have to make it. In the case of the shootings, you know, these kids were singled out for being Christians. This was not widely in the news, but this is exactly what it was. My friend Father Holzinger down in Southern Oregon, who used to be pastor right there in Roseburg, he came over and ministered to the people, many of whom he knew personally, and he wrote in his blog, he said, well, you know, I wonder, would I be willing to stand up and say, yes, I'm a Christian when somebody's got an M16? Would you? Would I? It's a question, isn't it? Are they martyrs? Bill thought so, Father Bill. I think they are. Maybe their role in life was to make us think about life. This is happening over in Syria all the time. It's happening in our society. It's happening too much in our country. You know, we don't have the answers to these things. We have to struggle with them. We don't have the answers in our own tragedies. But neither, we look at Christ and the cup he was offered, and it's offered by an angel, our friend, our guardian angel, our friend, is sometimes going to offer us this chalice and say, will you sacrifice with me? Will you take the cup I'm going to offer you at Mass? You know, the Eucharistic prayer I'm using today, may the angel take this sacrifice to your altar in heaven, this sacrifice and ours, our sacrifice before God, the thing that won't go away, the thing I didn't ask for, the cross that came unexpectedly, the one that we're still struggling with. Can I make an offering of this to God? This is part of what life is about, as well as the joys of life. We just pray that, like our Lord, we can enter into the mystery. Christ was perfected in his humanity by suffering. Though he was perfect in his humanity, he had something to go through as well. And this was his glory forever that he shares with us. We just ask God to give us grace and his blessing in our lives.